Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. When the judgment of God falls, things we hold dear are often laid waste. The city of Jerusalem, with its temple, was sacked and looted by invading armies whose actions came in the plan and will of God. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today we continue a series on The Church in Babylon, Unleashing the Power of a Spirit-Filled Witness. Erwin Lutzer takes us to Lamentations chapter 1 as Jeremiah is mourning the destruction of a great city.
When I taught preaching to young seminarians, I used to tell them that a preacher should think clearly, feel deeply, and cause his hearers to do the same. Today I hope that we do indeed think clearly, but I also hope that we feel deeply. If you are not touched emotionally today, it may be because you've really developed a hard heart, maybe because of some bad experiences. Because today's message, in one respect, is very difficult. It is intended to touch the emotions, but it's intended to do more than that, to show us the grace of God in the midst of the most awful devastation that we could describe. So at the end of the message, you will be given hope, no matter who you are, no matter what your problems are. You may be a drug addict. You may be going through a time of depression. I promise you hope. But first of all, we have to look at a few texts. You know, there are different reasons why it is that cities can be destroyed. One reason may be because of natural disasters. We think immediately of Katrina. We think of New Orleans being destroyed largely. We think, for example, of Tuscaloosa and even Washington in the middle of the state of Illinois, where a tornado comes and basically destroys a town. We can also think of times when cities are destroyed because of war. When Rebecca and I were in Belarus, we took a trip out to what is known as Chechen. Chechen, I wish I could take all of you to it, is a place devoted to the destruction that took place under the Nazis. What happened is the Nazis came, and in retaliation, they decided to destroy 189 villages and to destroy everyone in those villages. So at Chechen, what they did is they took townspeople, about 145, forced them into a barn, and then they lit the barn. There was hay in the barn, and if anyone ran out of the barn, they shot them. 75 of the 145 were children. Today there's a monument where the barn is. There's a monument where the ashes were of all the dead. And all of the many of the names of the children are listed. Can you even imagine the devastation? But you know, there are other times when a city is destroyed because of the direct judgment of God. I think, for example, of the instances I mentioned, natural disasters and war. We could refer to those often as undeserved judgments. But when you get to Jerusalem in 586 BC, that is a deserved judgment predicted by God. And it wasn't God just acting randomly from our standpoint. God was fulfilling his holy word. And if I might say it plainly, Jerusalem was getting exactly what it deserved. Now, for example, Jeremiah was preaching things like this. Listen to his words. O Jerusalem, wash your heart from evil that you may be saved. How long shall your wicked thoughts lodge within you? For a voice declares from Dan and proclaims trouble from Mount Ephraim. Warn the nations that he is coming. Announce to Jerusalem, besiegers come from a distant land. They shout against the cities of Judah like keepers of a field. They are against her all around because she has rebelled against me, declares the Lord. God is speaking. Your ways and your deeds have brought this upon you. This is your doom, and it is bitter. It has reached your very heart. Deserved judgment. And of course, you know what happened. The last message I mentioned, the Babylonians came, destroyed the city, burned the city, took about 15,000 to Babylon, and you have huge starvation along the way. The suffering was unbelievable, all deserved. Wow. Which leads me to the book of Lamentations. The book of Lamentations, and I want you to take your Bibles and turn to it. Would you turn, please, to the book of Lamentations? It comes after the book of Jeremiah. And it's important for you to have a Bible in your hands. You know, there are some Christians who come to church without their Bibles. I have learned to love them because of the fact that many of them are my friends, and I've learned to love people whom I do not understand, all right? So I love you, and you have to love me, even though I'm going to needle you a little bit about not bringing your Bible if you didn't. But if you bring your Bible regularly, you say, Pastor Luther, I always do, but today I happen to forget it. Then you can find it there if you can find a pew Bible on page 685, all right? Because you need the Bible in your hand. And the book of Lamentations is the book that we are looking at because Lamentations is five funeral dirges. It is elegies, that is to say, songs composed in a graveyard. The book of Lamentations exposes the heart of Jeremiah and the heart of God as he looks at this devastated city. Somebody has said that the book of Lamentations is really a cloudburst of grief. It is an ocean of sobs and a river of tears. We'll get to it in a moment. Your Bibles are open. Notice that the chapters, except the middle chapter, all have 22 verses. Chapter 1, 22 verses. Chapter 2, 22 verses. Chapter 3 happens to have 66. Chapter 4, 22. 5, 22. What's going on there in the text? In Hebrew, it is actually an acrostic. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and each of these verses in four of the chapters refers and begins with another letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Now, in the case of the middle chapter, chapter 3, what you have is, I understand that the letters of the alphabet are again used, but in each instance, there are three verses connected to one letter. So 3 times 22 is 66, and that gives you a bit of an outline of the book. I want you to understand that because Lamentations wasn't just Jeremiah walking through the city making random comments. It was really a poem composed of these five different laments. It was composed by him very carefully so that it could be used in liturgical worship, so that the Jews were able to use it. They use it today at the Wailing Wall. They use it on special occasions when they lament the destruction of Jerusalem and their history. Also, it reminds us that God's destruction is from A to Z, as we say, from the beginning of the alphabet to the last of the alphabet. Now, I'm only going to introduce you to the first two chapters, and then we're going to make some observations, and I'm going to be giving you hope. But what chapters they are. Let me read a few verses of chapter 1. How lonely sits the city. First of all, I have to comment before I say that. I want you to visualize the city. Visualize the devastation that takes place, not only when there's a tornado, but when there's a fire that burns the city. So there you can see some of the dolls that the girls played with, and you can see the toys that the boys had. And they're all gone. They're all destroyed. They're all either dead or with their moms and dads on the way to Babylon. Visualize your area. Visualize also the devastation that you are going through. Some of you may say, this is the story of my life. If you're saying that, remember, I am going to give you hope. But I want you to enter into what Jeremiah is saying and seeing. He's weeping not only over what happened, but the good that could have been. Wow. How lonely sits the city that was full of people. How like a widow she has become, she who was great among the nations. Verse 2, she weeps bitterly in the night with tears on her cheeks among all her lovers. She has none to comfort her. All of her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They've become her enemies. Judah has gone into exile because of affliction and hard servitude. She now dwells among the nations, but finds no resting place. Her pursuers have all overtaken her in the midst of her distress. I'm skipping to verse 9. Her uncleanness was in her skirts, that is to say, she was filled with immorality. She took no thought of her future. Isn't that America today? She took no thought of her future, therefore her fall is terrible. She has no comforter. Oh, Lord, behold my affliction, for the enemy has triumphed. The enemy has stretched out his hands all over her precious things, for she has seen the nations enter her sanctuary, those whom you forbid to enter your congregation. What's going on there? Israel thought to itself, Judah thought to itself, we have Jerusalem and the temple, and this is where the glory of God once came. There's no way that God is going to destroy us. We are his chosen people. We have God blessed Jerusalem as stickers on the back of every one of our chariots. There's no way that God is going to destroy us. God says, foreigners have entered into your sanctuary. Your temple is gone. Your temple is destroyed. You're going to have to learn to live without the temple. We'll find out what that is like in a future message. Well, what a sobering thought. Jeremiah was very faithful to God. He delivered the message that God gave him. And of course, the bottom line is that just because Israel was the people of God, just because they were chosen, Israel and Judah, that did not mean that God would withhold judgment. And even though God loves Jerusalem, he says he loves the gates of Jerusalem. He was willing to see the city destroyed because he did not have the hearts of the people. I think it's very obvious that the application is to America today. God has given us many privileges. We have millions, I'm sure, of wonderful Christians in America, but as a nation, we are forgetting God. We are going our own way, and all of us are reaping the consequences in one way or another. And we should not say to ourselves, well, we are Americans. God would never destroy us. Well, notice the lesson from the Old Testament. I hope that you understand the importance of this series of messages. Perhaps it's been a long time since you've read the book of Jeremiah. It's important for your friends also to know the message of this book and the hope that it also offers to all who are willing to live in repentance and faith. What a beautiful opportunity for us to live for Jesus Christ in the midst of this culture. You stay tuned for information on how these messages can be yours.
Erwin Lutzer, introducing Mourning the Destruction of a Great City. Another message in a series on the Church in Babylon, unleashing the power of a Spirit-filled witness. Next time, God surprises those who thought he'd never touch his holy city. The Church in Babylon is a 10-part series on CD. We'd like to send you that series as our thank you for a gift of any amount to support the ministry of Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.